Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go talk about the book we all read.
You know they're dangerous.
Take a look, it's in a book.
So many books, so little time.
This is Wretched Radio bringing you book reviews. Oh, there are so many books, so many choices, but so many are chaff. How do you find the wheat? Answer our Fortis fellow Tim Challies, who focuses on the local church doing book reviews, which you can watch and hear for free at Fortis Plus. That's the Fortis Institute app. Tim Challies, along with other fellows, have a warehouse full of great helps for you. The entire focus, even though all of these fellows come at the subjects in different areas of theology and cultural engagement, all of them with the same purpose, that we would love our Lord more, that we would use the knowledge, not just to learn a bunch of stuff, but to grow and to see it infiltrate the totality of our lives. And incidentally, how providential is this? Dr. John Krotz, if you go to Fortis Plus, he has a Fortis forum there, Head to Heart. It's 10 tips, 10 things that you can start doing that will integrate, which is the name of his podcast, Integrated. It will integrate your faith into your life, which providentially is exactly what Tim Challies' book review is all about. That's the sound effect.
I've always placed a high premium on learning. I think it's so important to learn. And as a Christian, so important to learn who God is, to learn what He's done in this world. But as time goes on, I'm also realizing it's important to remember. It's one thing to learn important information. It's another to remember it, and perhaps especially to remember it over a long stretch of time. There's some information we use all the time, and as we go back to that information, we use it again and again. It sparks it in our mind, and we tend to remember it. There's other information we use less often, and that's the kind of information that over time we can find it drifting out of our minds, and we can find later when we want that information, it's not available anymore. It's not there at our recall. Or maybe we find we can sort of remember it, but we don't have a lot of confidence in it. This can be true of anything. It can be true of directions. It can be true of numbers. It can be true of anything, but
not 80s music. Oh, I'm sorry. Is my mic on? I'm sorry.
It's maybe especially tragic when it's true of theology, of what's true about God, what's true about His ways, what's true about His word. So I found over time, I need to not just learn, but I need to go over that information. I need to renew that information to make sure it remains fresh and available to me. Here's a new resource that I think can be very helpful for both purposes, for learning and retention. It's called Daily Doctrine, and it's by Kevin DeYoung.
I gotta confess, I like that Presbyterian fellow, Kevin DeYoung. He is a super good writer. He's always really thoughtful, and he always approaches even disagreements with a spirit of gentleness and kindness. He's not a squish bomb. He really isn't. He's quite conservative. But he's simultaneously, I don't know, what's the Christian word I'm looking for? Nice. He's a nice guy.
Now, it is essentially a systematic theology. Systematic theology is just a way of asking, what does the Bible say about any topic? What does the whole Bible say about any topic? So it takes all the information about a certain topic and arranges it logically and sequentially. That's what a systematic theology is. And what Kevin DeYoung has done here is essentially write a systematic theology. Now, there are many systematic theology texts available to us. You might know of Wayne Grudem. You might know of John Frame. John MacArthur has one. There's so many. There's hundreds available to us. And some absolutely excellent ones. What Kevin DeYoung has done here is write a systematic theology, but with a bit of a twist. The twist is that it's arranged in daily readings. And so it takes all that information and it breaks it down into five readings a week that you can do over the course of a year. So each chapter is a few hundred words long rather than tens of thousands of words long. There's many different ways you can use this. My wife and I have been reading it after dinner. We're mostly, at least through most of the year, empty nesters now. So we eat dinner, then we crack out our copies of the book, we read it together, and it's just perfect for that sort of devotional purpose.
Hey, young man, are you trying to figure out how you can be a spiritual leader in your home? You just heard it, didn't you? Now, that might not be your bag. It might not be what works for the rhythms of your familial life, but that's the type of stuff that a man does. In fact, I think I'm going to incorporate that myself. Instead of rushing off to do this or that, why not take an extra 10 minutes? It doesn't have to be a formal sort of devotional time, but why not take time to do? In fact, I'll tell you, if you've been married for many, 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 many years, wouldn't that be great conversation fodder? Wouldn't that be great table talk? Wouldn't that be something that would spur more conversations? I suspect it would. Back to Tim.
I want to be clear about something. This is not an easy to read book. So this is not, and it's not meant to be, a kind of systematic theology for dummies. Nothing like that. This is a hard read at times. It deals with deep topics and it deals with them well. And so I wouldn't want you to mistake it as something that maybe you're going to read to small children or with small children. I'd say if you're a teenager, well into your teen years, or an adult, then you'll be able to grasp it. It'll be fine. It's written on a simple level, but not simplistic, if you will. It's written for adults and older teens, and it's written very well. It proceeds as most systematic theologies do in the same kind of order. And it is very helpful for learning and for refreshing. And so I've read a lot of systematic theology over the years, so this is not new ground for me, but it is helping me relearn and remember what I've learned. My wife, on the other hand, has not read so much in systematic theology, so for her, it's a bit more of a learning process. And I'd say we're both enjoying it in those purposes. It's beneficial to both of us in those ways. So,
you know what, if I could add, nighttime reading, how's about putting this in your head before you go to bed? It's funny how you even dream about the things you were thinking about before you fall asleep. What if it were theology?
It's important not just to learn, very important to learn, it's important to remember. And if you're going to remember things, even things that are so important, like our knowledge of God, our knowledge of how he works in this world, our knowledge of scripture, all those things, we can't just learn them one time and assume that they'll be at our beck and call for the rest of our lives. That's not the way our minds work. We're too frail, too human for that. And so we need to go over that information again. Whether you're learning for the first time or whether you're just trying to make sure you hold on to those things you learned in the past, I would highly recommend Daily Doctrine from Kevin DeYoung. I think you'll find it a blessing to read individually, to read as a family, maybe to read with a group of people and check in from time to time. I'm quite sure you'll find the book a blessing to you.
Did you catch it? Did you catch his fatal error? He talked about our minds not working that way. Please hope Greg Gifford does not hear this program. Because there's a difference between the mind and the brain. The brain, that's that gray thing up there that stores information, that processes stuff. But it ain't you. Yeah, it mingles in a way with the mind, but you are not your brain. You are your mind, your soul, your inner man. The brain is merely that little mechanism. It is that device that moves things from the spiritual into the physical realm. That's it. You are going to be in heaven until Jesus returns and you get your new body without a brain. Doesn't mean you're going to be Scarecrow, which, by the way, Scarecrow, really, even as a kid, I remember this. Wait a second. If he doesn't have a brain, how can he talk? Yes, I was that kind of kid. Your mind is who you are. And we do well to constantly put information into our brain. We need that. But here's where the trick comes in. It's that information that does indeed get stored in our brain. We want it to infect our mind, don't we? And that is why when you're learning stuff, you got to make it a part of your life. How do you do that? I think that sometimes we get a little bit confused. I think we think that it's something that we're even cognizant of. All right, I'm headed to lunch right now. I've got to make sure I'm incorporating my faith into my life. No, that's not the way that it works. The way that it works is that you are doing the things that fill and saturate your brain with truth, where God then does the rewiring process so that your mind thinks better and it just becomes a part of you. It's garbage in, garbage out, Bible in, Bible out, theology in, theology out. So it demands that we're consuming. Yes, we are consuming lots and lots of information. But if you're one of those individuals, and I can relate to you, you love the theology, you love the parsing of verbs. That ain't enough. Theology needs to move from head to heart. Encourage you to check out Dr. John Kratz's Fortis Forum, titled exactly that, Head to Heart. It is available for free at fortisthus.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. Will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And together, we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, and that's why we need you now, more than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant. Visit FortisInstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. FortisInstitute.org/truth. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. You know what's remarkable? Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, three of them in the top 2%. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Giffert, John Kratz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app, completely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Attributes of God. God is merciful. While he does not permit evil to go unpunished, he withholds his justice for a time. Though God is storing up wrath for the day of judgment, every day we continue to live is evidence of God's mercy and another chance to repent and trust in Christ for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do not call me a cheater.
Cheater.
Fine if the shoe fits. This is Wretched Radio. Tim Challey's one of our Fortis fellows who focuses on the local church. Does book reviews. Did you know they're all available at Fortis Plus? That's right. Absolutely free. Tim Challey's, who is, I think he's still the world's most popular Christian blogger and a super fine writer, does book reviews because he loves the local church. And he's going to share a couple of reviews on books on a subject. It's just a coincidence. I mean, because I am interested in the subject of deconstruction, this current trend where everybody dismantles, they reverse engineer their faith. And then just basically, no, it's more like a wrecking ball. It's more like a Miley Cyrus approach. It just demolishes their faith, if they're going to be honest. And it's all the rage. It's the big trend on social media. And Tim Challey's is going to address and review two books that deal with this subject. I'm sharing this because I'm interested. It is only a coincidence that I am speaking on this subject this fall in September at Oklahoma University, and I need some help. That's just a coincidence. I'm not double dipping here. Don't call me a cheater.
Cheater.
All right, fine.
Today, I want to make you aware of just a couple of them. The first one is a book called The Deconstruction of Christianity, and it's written by Alisa Childers and Tim Barnett. Childers and Barnett are both apologists. They both spend a lot of time in this space interacting and engaging with people who are deconstructing their faith or asking big questions about the Christian faith. And that puts them in a really good position to understand the phenomenon and to speak to it. Their book is divided into three parts. And in the first part of the book, they did a lot of work to understand deconstruction and deconstructionists and to try to explain why people deconstruct their faith, what's behind it. And it's really interesting. They narrow in on five things. So as people tell their stories of here's why I've left behind the Christian faith, what are the common elements that they speak to? They offer five of them. The first is that people dislike a literal reading of the Bible. Interesting. We know that to read the Bible literally can mean some different things, but people really object to taking the Bible as truth, as true truth. Second one is the area of submission, particularly that wives are to submit to their husbands. People hate that, and that causes them to begin to deconstruct their Christianity. A third would, not surprisingly, be the area of homosexuality. People dislike the Christian faith says heterosexuality is good, homosexuality is forbidden. Fourth would be an assumption that the American way of life is in some way superior to other ways of life, just tying closely a particularly American way of living with the Christian faith. And then finally would be Christians closely identifying with social conservatism or, of course, with conservative politics.
Okay, I can't help myself. The whole submission business as being a reason for deconstructing, that people don't like the idea of wives submit to your husbands. That would be Ephesians 5. I wonder if it would be wise to ask those people, are they opposed to all submission? Because the reality is, don't we all? I mean, if you obey the speed limits or even come close, you're submitting, you're obeying, you're doing what you're told. If you were a student, you submit to the teacher. Were you a child? Did you not submit to your parent? Why is it that this particular dynamic of submission between husband and wife is such a thing, especially when we fail to understand what submission is and what it isn't? It isn't being a doormat. By the way, speaking of Fortis Fellows, Libby Glosson talks about this very subject. Please start tuning in. If you're a woman, please start tuning into Intelligent Talk, a podcast, The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Don't tell her I said this, but she is so regularly articulating in the office, when she's in the office or even a church, because she's also a member of Alpharetta Bible Church. She leads our women's biblical counseling ministry there. And she's always, okay, I want to make sure I'm not stepping over the line here regarding lines of authority. She is like adamant about that. So it's not like she's squishy and she's some sort of egalitarian. She's not. She's thoroughly complementarian. And she will be the first one to say, but it doesn't mean you're a doormat. Doesn't mean you don't have an opinion. It doesn't mean that you don't contribute to decisions. It doesn't mean that. It means you're an etzer. Means you're a helper, which is the very word that God used to describe himself when it came to Israel. He's the etzer of Israel. And God doesn't seem to blanch at being identified as a helper because it's not second-class citizenry. It's role-playing for the function of a unit. You've got to have a teacher student. You've got to have a boss employee. You've got to have leaders and citizens. In the home, if you don't have somebody leading, every organization will have a head. Simple as that. Everyone will. Good or bad, it has one. Otherwise, it's complete chaos. But I digress. Back to Tim's review.
So those are five areas that are very commonly given as to why people deconstruct their faith. So that's the first part of the book. The second part is they examine the process of deconstruction. How do people go about it? What's the process they typically follow from beginning to have concerns about the Christian faith to rejecting, abandoning, and maybe being very publicly speaking against the Christian faith, really disparaging it. And the third part, they offer some guidance on how to love people who are going through deconstruction. How do you come alongside those people, guide them, and help them through this process? So that's The Deconstruction of Christianity by Lisa Childers and Tim Barnett. Highly recommended and very helpful.
That's a good book. I'm not saying I'm going to read it or anything in preparation for Oklahoma.
There's a second book I want to tell you about. It's brand new, also extremely helpful in its own way. It's called Walking Through Deconstruction by Ian Harbor. There's some overlap between the books, but here's the unique angle Harbor comes from, is he himself once deconstructed his faith. He proclaimed Christianity when he was young. He was raised in the church. He professed faith. He went to church, did all the right things. But then he encountered some serious impediments to his faith, times of suffering, big questions he felt the Christian faith just simply couldn't answer. And that led him into this process of deconstruction. But thankfully, and maybe somewhat unusually, he reconstructed his faith. So it was better and stronger than before. And so he's writing from this perspective of somebody who's been through this process and whose faith lived to tell the story. And so it's not quite a biographical account. There are biographical elements, but that's simply his angle. I've been through this. And so what he wants to do in this book is help you walk alongside those who are deconstructing their faith. And so in the first part of his book, he helps his readers understand why people deconstruct and how they deconstruct their faith. So perhaps you're a parent and your grown child is going through this. If you read the first part of the book, you'll gain help in what's going on in your child's mind. And his posture is one of really wanting to be kind, really wanting to be helpful, not being alarmed, not being angry, not sort of throwing it back in their faith, but being patient and loving and helping them as they go through this process. And then in the second part, he talks about how to help them reconstruct their faith. What would it look like to really help them build something else in place of their doubts? How can you help them with that? And again, much of his posture throughout the book is to really be kind and helpful instead of harsh. He wants you to be their greatest ally, and perhaps especially to come alongside them in prayer, to just plead before the Lord that he would do a great work within them, that this process of deconstruction would not be final, but would result in a faith that's better, that's stronger, that has deeper trust in the Lord and greater trust in his purposes. And so here are two books that I think are very helpful to us at this cultural moment, this point in time: The Deconstruction of Christianity by Childers and Barnett, and then Walking Through Deconstruction by Ian Harbor. If you had to read one first, I might say go with Childers and Barnett first. I don't think it really matters either way, but that one may just interact on a bit more of a basic level at times, and then follow up with Harbor that will really give you help in leading people, guiding people, praying for people, and hopefully seeing deconstruction or helping them find that deconstruction is not finally the destruction of their faith, but an unexpected opportunity for them to grow in their faith and to emerge with greater trust in the Lord, greater love for Him, and deeper trust in His purposes. So I hope you find that helpful. A couple books that you may want to add to your collection, read, and pass around to others.
I was just waiting for the sound effect. Hopefully that is helpful if you know somebody who is experiencing the deconstruction trend. Or maybe you've got questions yourself. Don't worry. God can handle questions. The answers are found in the Bible. They're tried and they're true and they are reliable. Deconstruction. It's all the rage. I'm going to be speaking on that at Oklahoma University in October, but I'm not going to be reading those books to get some helpful input. No siree. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.